Blog Talk Radio.
To have on with us, Ms. Shalita Smith. But before we get to Ms. Smith, I have a couple things I'd like to remind you of. One is that Gymnasium at the corner of Center Street and Park Avenue will be having a special jazz presentation tonight with Ms. Liz Dixon. And then, of course, we have the Todd Marcus and Friends at Home Place tonight on North Charles Street. And then I also want to make you aware of a Todd Marcus Quintet special CD release show that will take place on Saturday, June 16th at 8 p.m. It will be at Baltimore Center Stage at 700 North Calvert Street. On the 700 North Calvert Street, that's in Baltimore. The zip code is 21202 for those of you using MapQuest. And then we also have info you can get at toddmarcusjazz.com. That's toddmarcusjazz.com. And then there's also a phone number you can call for more information at 410-332-0033. Again, that's Todd Marcus Quintet special CD release show on Saturday, June 16th at 8 p.m. So if you can, take a moment to make it out. And I'd like to welcome on Ms. Shalita Smith. And Shalita, are you there?
I am here. Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay.
Shalita is going to talk to us today about women and retirement. But before we get into the nitty gritty, we want to get everyone acquainted with you, Shalita. So can you give us a little background on who you are and how you got started in financial services? What is the name of the company you work for, and how can you be contacted?
Okay. Well, I've been in the industry now for 3 years, and I am with Futurity First Financial Group. And my mission is to empower women to better their relationship with money.
Mm-hmm. And how is your
Okay, well, I plan to do that by forming workshops and having, you know, so that I'm able to have one-on-one, you know, live conversations with women, getting their feedback, as well as possibly answering questions with regards to any woes they have with money.
Okay. And where can you be contacted?
Okay. Well, we are located at 3959 Pender Drive in Fairfax, Virginia. My number here is 703-652-5419. I also can be emailed at Shalita Smith Ashy B at ffig.com.
Okay. Can you spell that out for the listeners, please?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, certainly. SHALITASMITHASHIGBI at ffig.com.
Okay. So, what got you, I know you said your mission is to empower women, but what was it that made you say, you know what, this is the way I want to go, this is what I'm passionate about? What was that moment that made you say, you know, this is the way I want to function for the rest of my, the time that I'll be in a career before I retire? What was it about this industry that drew you in?
Well, you know what? Before coming into the industry, you know, I worked in retail, and the retailer that I worked for offered an excellent, excellent 401k benefit plan to their employees, and they matched it. They matched it 4%. But I was financially illiterate in terms of how this plan worked. And how to budget myself to be able to further invest, because they also offered an employee stock plan, purchase plan, which allows you to purchase their stock at a discount. I mean, these are, you know, these are good benefits offered by, you know, that were being offered by the employer. But I was clueless as to how they worked, how to participate, and trying to get outside help from other financial advisors at the time was difficult, because those financial advisors wanted to know how much money I had already in the bank, liquid to, you know, to begin investing in. No one really wanted to take the time to sit down with me and just go over my 401k plan with me and explain to me how it worked. You know, so I decided to take the bull by the horns and learn it for myself, which is, you know, which is how I came to this industry.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So necessity was the mother of of the learning process here. And do you find that to be the case where information is not readily available most of the time in that setting? And why do you think that is? Why do people have such a hard time getting information that they need to make a good decision? And maybe if they had something, like say your employer offered something and it happened to be a good thing, but you still weren't sure of what it was exactly, why isn't education on the thing as pushed as the product is? In your opinion?
You know, that's right. I mean, that is a very good question. I wanted to know that same answer. You know, when I was employed with that employer at the time, because human resources, they could not assist me with my 401k plan, and it was something that it was being pushed, but education was not being offered, and it was almost taboo to even encourage it at the time. So that's why, you know, I mean, that's why I'm offering workshops. There are many other workshops out there too now that, you know, that educate, you know, that educate consumers and customers and employees on 401k plans in general, not just their specific plans. So there are workshops out there. You just have to, you know where to find them, tap in, and take advantage of them when they're being offered.
And one of those workshops that she was talking about taking advantage of things being offered, was on the 23rd of this month, Michelita hosted a small workshop at the Wood Fire Grill, a Stone Fire Grill, in Ellicott City. And that was a perfect setting for people to just get those baby steps, get their feet in the water, know what their square one is, and know where to go from there. When you have someone who is being very generous with information that is usually withheld from the consumer for whatever reason, we need to make sure we're taking full advantage of those workshops. Like I said, she just had one on the 23rd. So the next time that I post something, guys, I really would like for you all to take a moment to show up, because you never know what's going to be said or what's going to be offered that will be that key in your puzzle that you've been looking forward to get you to the next phase. So, Shalita, you mentioned that your focus is helping women to prepare for retirement. What specifically led to you saying, I'm going to focus on women right now and getting them into a better financial position at retirement?
Well, looking at statistics, women are not saving at the rate that men are saving. In fact, it's something like 60% men to 40% women. And I know, being a woman myself, that we tend to not want, you know, we're not focused on numbers per se. I mean, we're driven more by, you know, our emotions, or what's emotionally driving us at the moment. And our focus tends to be more on the now, debts that we have now, expenses that we have now. It could be more on the family, whether it's caring for, you know, our parents, our loved ones, our kids. And that deviates our focus from saving, you know, for retirement. So that's why my focus is on women. It's just to get us to take more control over our own finances and our financial future.
Okay. So what would that look like if someone were to attend one of your workshops? Because each workshop is going to be slightly different, because really you just go off of what your audience shows you they need. But the foundational things of that workshop? If someone came to a workshop, what would that look like for them? Is there anything to be made and feel, you know, like they should not come? You know, sometimes people get a little intimidated when you start to talk about money.
Right.
Or
right.
If someone doesn't have much money, is that a reason for them not to attend?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. You have to start from somewhere. And attending my workshops, I mean, each workshop will be on a different topic. So it depends on what it is that you want to take away from each workshop, but it's all about taking baby steps. You don't have to have a lot of money from the start in order to begin. You just have to determine within yourself, that you're going to start saving. I'm just trying to think of a good analogy to give the audience here. Automatic savings. You do it with your 401k. If you have an individual retirement account, you do it with your individual retirement account. Even if you have expenses, even if you have debts, we all have expenses. We all have, debts that we have to pay on a continual basis. I mean, it's a part of life. I mean, if you have a credit card, you have debt. But it shouldn't deter you from putting some money aside for yourself. And you can do
right.
that while paying down your debt. So sitting down with me, we can together come up with a strategy that will work for you in order to do just that. Put away for retirement, pay down your debt. And as you pay down your debt, then you have more money freed up, disposable income freed up, to really invest in stocks and bonds or mutual funds or ETFs, exchange traded funds. I mean, you'll be able to eventually free up to invest more aggressively. So those are some of the takeaways that you would get from my workshops.
Okay. And I'll say one of the things that we went over at the workshop, we covered several things past Wednesday. And Shalita basically gave us an outline. And the first question of the outline was, why is money important to you? Because if you know that, if we can figure out why it is we believe we need money and what we believe the function of money is, that can also help us with planning out how we're going to use the money that we get. So when you have people answer that question, Shalini, what has the gamut been like? What are some of the answers you receive when you ask, why is money important to you? Or what do you want money to do for you? Because that's another way of asking that same question and getting maybe a more accurate response.
Right. I mean, it's all about finding out what your personal goals and objectives are. And if you know what your goals are, whether it's to put, your children through college retire, what you would may consider an adequate age. It could be 65, it could be 66, it could be even 70. you know, how do you want that retirement to look like? Do you want to mm-hmm. still be able to earn the income stream that you're currently earning and live off that same income stream in retirement, or do you want it to be less? I mean, there are so many contributing factors that bring you to whatever decision, you know, you decide to make in terms of goals and objectives.
Okay. And then another thing you want to ask a good chunk is about risk, as far as risk and effect, injury, health, and death, some of those things mm-hmm. that, you know, can occur and will happen at some time in a person's life. And you aren't just looking at saving for retirement, but like you said, for your overall income. So those things dealt with insurance. How does having insurance tie into also helping you to prepare for the retirement phase of your life?
Right. Okay. Well, if you are still working and you're in your working years and you're saving up for retirement, well, we don't know what, you know, tomorrow brings or would bring, and God forbid something were to happen to you and you're married and you have a family, well, mm-hmm. you want to make sure that life still carries on the way it was financially for your family. So you want to secure what you have.
Right.
Also, too, healthcare is a huge cost in retirement.
Mm-hmm.
And too many times we're not prepared for those costs, unforeseen costs. And there are various types of hybrid life insurances out there now that can help absorb some of that cost.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely worth revisiting if you do have a much older existing life policy. Does that policy fit the needs for, you know, for what you want, you know, for what you're goaling yourself for in the future? And is it covering those risks? Because healthcare is a huge risk in retirement. Where, you know, we may be healthy now, but there's no guarantee that we're going to be healthy in 20 or 30 years from now.
Right. So what numbers do you use to guide people to finding out what their number would be? For an example, I'm 40 years old. So if I wanted to have a minimum of $1 million at age 70 or 75, what would that look like for me if I was just starting now? And how beneficial would it have been for me to start at, like, age 18?
Oh, big, 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 big difference. At the age of 40, in order to hit $1 million by retirement, I mean, you're looking at close to $1,000 a month saving up now versus mm-hmm. being 20 and maybe only needing to save up $50 a month. So it is a big difference, and the difference is because of compound interest. You know, mm-hmm. your money does compound over a period of time. We like to, in this industry, look at a 10-year span each time. So
mm-hmm.
if you look at a 10-year span over time, yeah, that's about what you would have to save on a monthly basis, not even an annual basis, but a monthly basis in order to reach that $1 million.
Okay. Now, is that an unattainable thing?
Yes, it
like,
is. It can be. Depending on, like I said, depending on your income, depending on where you are in terms of your debt to income ratio, because even if you're making, you know, $60,000 or $50,000 a year, if your debt is very limited, then you can focus on putting away $1,000 or up to $1,000 a month. It just really does depend on where you are financially. If not, even if you meet the half mark, which you still can, you know, meeting that half mark is still achievable, you know, over 500,000, you can still make that 500,000 stretch over time and provide you with still a substantial amount of income.
So if a person was not afraid to take a little bit of risk, let's say they're getting kind of close to their retirement time, they had at least 400 accumulated. How would taking at least 250 of that and just maybe putting it into another high yield fund or annuity impact their long term retirement plan in that case?
You're speaking in terms of various types of products, and that could definitely be a segment in and of itself, because before we can determine what product or mechanism is going to work best for someone, we really would have to sit down and analyze where they are and what their risk tolerance is when it comes to investing, and determine based on that what vehicle would work best for them. But there are definitely various types of vehicles out there that could help with regards to creating an adequate income stream. And annuities is just one of those. But it is important that you do, you know, if you're nearing retirement, put a floor under some of your investment, a portion of your investment, just enough to cover your day-to-day expense living, such as rent or mortgage or taxes or utilities and grocery and putting gas in your car. So you do want to put a floor under some of your investment. But again, in order to determine what vehicle to use, what type of vehicle to use, we would have to sit down and really get to know the client and where they are and what exactly their risk tolerance is.
So we talk about people who may not be able to invest $50 today. Where can they start at? What applications are there available, or even organizations of, or anything like that, where they can sit down and still get started today if they only had like 5,000 rupees or something like that.
Okay.
Just something to get started. Where are some of the resources or technology where someone just wants to get the ball?
Okay. Well, if you are working and your employer is offering some type of retirement benefit plan, that is where you want to start. And you want to take advantage of fully maxing that as much as you possibly can. The contribution max is 14,000, maybe 14,000 eight, I believe, that you can max, or per year, or maybe it's even 14,004. No, it's over 14,000 that you can max per year in your 401k. If you're 50 and above, it's more like 24,008. So you want to take advantage of maxing that as much as you possibly can. Even if you don't, you know, max it to 14,000, it should be at least 10% of your income that you are contributing every pay period to your company plan. That's number one. That's the number one place to start. If you don't have an employer benefit plan, then consider an individual retirement account, an IRA. There are two types of IRAs that you can contribute to, one being just an individual retirement account that will allow you to contribute up to $6,500 a year, tax deferred. The other one is a Roth IRA or Roth individual retirement account that allows you to also contribute up to $6,500 a year, but that's on pre-taxed money. So that's money that you're putting in after you've already paid your taxes. So those are other instruments that you can use if you don't have an employee-based or an employee-sponsored retirement plan.
Okay. All right.
Once you've contributed to your company's retirement plan, or once you've contributed toward an IRA, then whatever other funds you have, even if it's just a little bit, it could be $5 or $10 a week, you can put towards certain apps. There are apps out there called Stash, Acorn, Fidelity has an app. You can, you know, sign up one of those apps and start contributing that way too.
Okay. So those apps allow for the lower income situation.
Yes.
Or mm-hmm. you just don't have, like, you're making money, but you don't ever really have any money left over. So those will allow you to get started on this path, and then once you get to a certain amount, then you go start looking into other vehicles. Are they all, can they all be rolled into another vehicle without any penalty, or are there penalties involved with moving your funds from one style of retirement account to another?
Mm-hmm. Well, there is a penalty if you were to take the money in lump sum yourself
mm-hmm.
and move it that way. If you're not 59 and a half and older, there is a penalty. The Uncle Sam taxes you 10% on that. However, you do have a 60-day window to have it rolled over, meaning the money is transferred from one plan directly to another plan. It does have to be what we call a qualified plan, meaning it adheres to certain guidelines set by the our government. So there is leeway when it comes to moving funds that way.
Okay.
And again, that is a 60-day window. So if you were to leave one job to go to another, you have 60 days to get that money transferred from one qualified plan to another.
So, but outside of that, you wouldn't be able to move it?
No.
Without incurring a penalty?
Right, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Huh. That mm-hmm. is interesting. I would have thought this, as long as you're still moving the money to another account, even if you have to pull it yourself, that they would give you some type of leeway with that, but
No. There, it has to be from plan to plan. So even if it's not your employer plan, it has to still be some type of qualified plan.
And it doesn't matter if you are moving between companies or not, or between new jobs or not, as far as that goes, because I know the window's in place when you move from job to job, but if a person just wanted to move their funds while they're still at the same place to a different qualified account, would they still incur a penalty doing that?
Yes, because if you are vested within your company plan, you are not permitted to just up and move that money somewhere else unless you're leaving that job. So, and upon termination, you have that 60-day window to roll those funds over into another qualified plan.
Okay. So once you're in it, you're in it. Pretty much. So you'd have to basically start a whole other account to take advantage of something that you may have come across that may suit you better.
Right.
As you go along, you just have to start.
Right. And every plan is different. Your employer plan administrator would have documentation that explains the program and what penalties would occur if you were to move the money. So I would encourage you to get that information from your benefit administrator, your benefit plan administrator. They would have that information.
Okay. So, there and again, though, how do we encourage employers to put that, have a sense of urgency about letting the people that work for them know about this information? Because, yes, the information may be available, but there and again, we're having the conversation. So obviously,
right. We're
going to get direction. But
right. How
can employers, aside from saying, oh, we offer this, how can we encourage employers to truly offer it and by way of educating employees? What would that look? What do you think that would look like to be effective for the employees that are there
right.
or that are coming from?
Right. Well, that burden falls on the administrator of the plan. I think that since my leaving my employer, that has gotten better. I realize that a lot more in terms of educating the employees on their benefit plan by the actual benefit plan provider. It has gotten better.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but
there is still room for improvement. There is definitely still room for improvement. And I think that if enough employees speak up about it, then something could definitely be done. But that's just it. Enough have to speak up about it.
Right. So, and then too, the other part, and I don't know if it's just because of the whole MLM phenomenon, but sometimes it's difficult to get people to just come out to workshops in general, because they assume that it's going to be a workshop, but there's going to be this push for you to join something or something mm-hmm. along those lines. Mm-hmm. How do we take that back where people aren't turned off by going to workshops, whether there are opportunities available at the end or not, because the information is still relevant no matter
right.
what the package is at.
Right.
As long as the information is correct and it's being given by a person who is a, I always say, it's best to get information from a person who's constantly learning in their field. Yes, it's great to have people who've been in the field forever, but if they never kept up with anything, that does you no good either, because then you're using mm-hmm. antiquated information and you're not going to get the best product. So how do we
right.
get people, how can I get someone to say, okay, because I not only work with you, but I work with my cousin, and they do financial literacy as well. But it's like, how do we get people to be encouraged to just get the information? Like, if you don't want to do, you know, any MLMs or anything like that, that's fine. But just come get the information. Like, why is it so difficult for us to get through to people like that?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think that blockage is? And we're wrapping up Mental Health Month, May. So just neither one of us are mental health specialists out here in the civilian world. But what do you think is the underlying reason why people are so hesitant to allow people in that arena, when that's the arena that causes everyone the most pain, disdain, and leads to sometimes physical discomfort, sometimes breaks up families, and sometimes this ends in all-out tragedy, as we saw when
right.
the stocks plummeted in 2008. People not only took their lives, but they took their families' lives. It's like, hold up, that kid could have still made it, you know? Like, you just took everybody out over money, and money comes and goes day in and day out. It can always be recouped, but your life can't. So, like,
right.
what have you seen being in that arena? And like I said, how do you think we can get through to people who are closed off? And then how do we get the people who are hyper-vigilant about it to take a few steps back? Like, what is your take on that?
Well, I believe that if we can encourage each other, to come to a workshop, you know, bring a friend and make it an outing, so to speak, and
right.
you know, take advantage, like you said, of the free information that you can obviously gather from coming to one of these meetings or workshops, because it is free, you know, it is free advice being given. It's free nuggets of valuable, very valuable information that you could take away with you, whether you decide to take the person who is providing the information up on, you know, a private service session or not. You know, just getting the information alone is very, very valuable, because these workshops a lot of times are free. Sometimes there is a cost associated, but with my workshops, they have been free to all. So, yeah, it's a matter of us just encouraging one another to just come. So it's a personal, it's a personal hunger that
mm-hmm.
each person has to have. I had a personal hunger for it, I wanted to know more. So that is why I took the steps that I took. But everyone has their own journey, their own road to go down. And it is my hope that we do become more hungry for wanting to know more when it comes to our finances.
Yeah. And I think that if we can get into more school settings with our young people, that will help to change the tide also, because the one time we did do a workshop with a local high school, it went over so well, Shalita. Like, I think that is, like, the place to start to really close that gap, because, unfortunately, we're dealing with older people. There's so much more baggage to work through. But if you can start with a mind that is already hungry for knowledge and information, and they're just about to enter the work world, or maybe they've been doing part-time odd jobs here and there, and they do want the information, they do want to make sure they'll be in a good position when they get older and won't have to struggle or have 10, 15 jobs as far as they're concerned, like their mom, dad, sister, brother, auntie, uncle did.
Right.
So they see the work part, and they're just like, this generation is just different in general, but they see the work, and they're like, I just don't want to work that hard, you know?
Right.
So it's like, okay, you don't want to work that hard, you have to work extra smart, and part of that is just, as you said, it's just starting early. So the earlier you start, the more you can amass without a lot of effort.
Right.
Knowledge is power. Knowledge is key. And if a lot of us had known that all we had to do is put aside $5 a week when we were 20 and let it build,
right,
and then put it into a different vehicle, and we'd all be good, that's what we would have done. And honestly, the younger you let children know, the earlier they start. And
right.
So they don't have a problem with it. Like, I know, even in my household, family and my sister, we never had a problem saving money. You know, if they told us we have a goal and objective, it's like, okay, we'll put, you know, part of our allowance to the side. Well, imagine if they had said, okay, when we get to the end of the year, we're going to take this money and we're going to put it into a money market account.
Right.
Which I don't think was very big when we were coming up back then. But something along those lines, the CD.
Right. No.
I mean, granted, it's really low yield, but it's a place to start. So, my mom was like, oh, I got you guys savings bonds. And I'm like, even then, I was like, I think that's great, but I don't think it's a good vehicle. Like,
Right. Investing versus saving.
Right.
Yeah, investing versus saving. Because, investing really grows your money,
right,
whereas saving, I heard someone say saving just adds to your money. So there is a difference. There is a vast difference. So I do agree with you that, you know, young people, reaching as many young people is key to possibly turning the generational tide. And I think that, that should be all of our mission, is to help turn the tide. So I do champion that idea.
So then the next thing would be, I'm really passionate about that, because honestly, every time I see a young person, and I know that they're making their money in some other form that is not necessarily accessible, I still see the talent of that person. Like, if you have the ability and the work ethic to be in harsh conditions, so why can't you take that same ethic and untwist it and put it to work for you legitimately and really start building your future? you know. So I just really feel like that's the best place to start. One, it'll help change the whole community, local, mm-hmm. and outlook on money and the ability for us to help ourselves.
Right.
When, you know, local government falls short, you know, mm-hmm. because they don't see the value, honestly. They don't value certain groups of people
mm-hmm.
the same way, you know. And I'm not talking black and white. I'm talking basically toned-down classism. So that's really what's going on. So,
right.
Right now, especially in Baltimore. So, would you be open and willing to do that? Like, if we got together and we got a bunch of young people together to start?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, we
you know?
Have workshops that are, you know, that are geared toward college students, and I'm pretty sure that we could possibly refine it so that it relates to high school students. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So that, I really think that the high school students, even with the college setup that you have, would catch on
mm-hmm.
to that, and they would, you know, just get to catch that wave. So, because I remember after the session with me, I had a young lady walk up to me and was like, okay, so I'll get this money in a couple of weeks. I would ask for that. Could you put it into a vehicle for me? And I'm like, no, not me. But it was just wonderful that she listened and you knew she wasn't
right.
the only one. And they wanted to do something responsible with their money as opposed to just being like, okay, I'm going to get this money and I'm just going to do whatever with it. You
right.
know?
Right.
I was like, yeah, that makes sense. Let me make sure I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah, I look forward to that. So we've got to make that happen very soon.
Yes. We can definitely make that happen. And I look forward to being an instrument, you know, to help our young people move in the direction of not only saving their money, but investing in getting it to grow and work for them. We want our money to work just as hard as we work to earn it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Ms. Shalita, thank you so very much for being on with us today, and we will get back together again. Like, this was just scratching the surface. Everyone, we try to make sure we stayed on point and just focus on retirement today, avenues of retirement, how we can begin saving for retirement if we have not already. But remember that if you can't do a $50 or $100 a month sit down with someone right now and commit to it, that there are those apps. She mentioned Stash, Acorn, and did you say there was one other? Fidelity has one also, you said. So start there. Let's just start somewhere, people, and get up a little bit and start digging your way out of that and into some financial freedom here where you can maneuver better in your later years than you are right now. Because you should be able to enjoy the fruit of your labor once you get 20, 30 years in. So, Ms. Shalita, is there anything else you'd like to add before we...
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Yes, you're very welcome. So, yes, we look forward to speaking with you again. And hopefully, guys, the next time that she is on, we'll be able to give you a date and time for the Young People's Workshop. And put that out there so you guys can all come. And we look forward to seeing you. All right, Ms. Shalita, I will be in contact with you later.
All right, thank you. Everyone have a great day. All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
everyone again. I just want to remind you, you can contact Shalita anytime. You can inbox her. You can contact her via email, if she left her email, or through her company. And then also want to remind you again of the importance of saving early. Like I said, we had a teacher that thought it not robbery, a math teacher, to have someone come in and let us go over the stock page and give us an understanding of how stocks and bonds worked, because it wasn't in our curriculum at the time. And when I went to give that presentation with my team to those students at that high school, the counselor asked me to draft up a traditional lesson plan because he knew that I was a former instructor in Baltimore City Public Schools. And I'm very happy that he did, because during that process of putting that together, I found out that there is a financial curriculum that could be taking place in the schools for our kids, the child that goes to school in the inner city school or public school. There is a curriculum. It's a matter of getting people who are passionate about changing the tide, changing the mindset of our children, and getting things in order so that we aren't living in such a violent society, because people are facing lack on a daily basis, and they don't have to. There's a way that this can only work for everyone, between those. But we have to get the greed out of the picture and start educating people. And then everyone will have more than enough, or at least what they'd like to have, or at least be comfortable. They have the opportunity to. But to deny information is just wrong. So we've got to get the information out there for everyone to be able to use. Again, thank you for being with us today, and I look forward to speaking with you all again on next week, and or we will have a wonderful recap for you, and have a great day. Be well. Thank you.